The book is about healthy living and drawing a balance in all things. So there's room in your life and in your diet for all the foods that you enjoy. You know, moderation is the key. It's not sexy. It doesn't sell trick gadgets, but it's been my salvation.
A Kansas State University graduate, registered dietitian, food coach, educator, and nutrition expert has written a book that's described as a practical approach to all things related to food, balance, and healthy living. On today's Sound Living, the life experiences that enabled this native Kansan to write a book that's full of common sense ideas we should all be practicing. Sound Living is a weekly public affairs program produced by Research and Extension at Kansas State University. I'm Jeff Wickman. Anita Kobashevsky is the author of Food, Field to Fork, How to Grow Sustainably, Shop Wisely, Cook Nutritiously, and Eat Deliciously. Anita was recently on the Kansas State University campus speaking to students and faculty in the College of Human Ecology as part of the Family and Consumer Sciences update. Anita, you were a recent guest speaker at Kansas State University, and first off, I just want to cover the fact that you are a native Kansan.
I'm actually from Hanover, Kansas, which is in Washington County, but I was born outside of Dodge City, and I lived a bit of time in Saline County. Our family is basically out of Gypsum, Kansas, where my grandfather had farmed for many, many years, and then we migrated up to Washington County, Hanover.
You've also worked in the private sector, and you've served in the military.
That's correct. Yes, I've done dietetics in the clinical setting in hospitals and also nursing homes, et cetera, and also have served as a corporate dietitian in the grocery store industry for Albertsons and Lucky Stores, and that was very fun and very exciting, and then also had the honor to serve in the United States Navy.
It sounds like the way the book came together, all of your experiences from growing up in the farm setting, working in the private sector, being in the military, all of that kind of came together in this book?
Yes, Jeff, it was a kind of a culmination of all those different pieces. It's sort of a combination of, based on scientific fact about food and nutrition, memoirs about growing up in the Midwest, detasseling corn, gathering pop bottles. I was sustainable even back then. And, you know, my good roots from the Midwest and the good work ethic kind of translated into a good work life, and I've really enjoyed all my different experiences working in dietetics and nutrition.
The goal here was to make this, I don't want to say simplified, but to make it very understandable.
Right. Well, nutrition doesn't start till the food passes the lips, so that's the goal. And so I wanted to include scientific facts, but I didn't want you to know that you were really getting them. So I wanted to make it fun and a practical sort of approach to nutrition and all things related to food. That's why we called it Food, Field to Fork. So from the planning to the harvesting to the preparation to the service, consumption. There's 26 family recipes. There's actually Kansas State Game Day Pot Roast. You can't miss that one. And they're all tried and true recipes, family recipes with nutrition analysis. Also a reference section. I wanted to fold together all those things a person would want if they were talking about food or nutrition.
And this is really timely because we're seeing more people planting home gardens. We're seeing more farmers markets open up. So all of that really kind of comes into play right now.
Right. Well, we remember way back with the Victory Gardens when the president many years ago asked us to plant Victory Gardens related to the war. And people were asked to bring soldiers in to let them live with them. There are a lot of houses divided into apartments. So we would have a sailor or soldier live to help accommodate them. So we're coming back together, I believe, as a country to kind of learn how to be friendly with the earth and be friendly with each other, sort of coexist in that sort of way. So I feel it's, I'm coming back to the heartland of sustainable, where I learned about a penny saved is a penny earned, live within your means, leave the place better than you found it. Those were all the practical approach to living. So for me, I'm so honored to come back to Kansas State and bring my book back, because it's like saying, you know, you thought that rock you had was a piece of rock, but, you know, Kansas, you really have a big diamond on your finger. And so I just love my Midwestern roots because they've taught me so much about living.
From the dietary standpoint, what are you trying to teach people about nutrition?
Well, that a practical approach. And so the basic steps on how to eat, and not here's your fork and put it to your mouth, but just kind of reaffirm that it's little steps, it's baby steps. Nutrition doesn't start till the food passes the lips. So if you purchase things that are healthy, they'll have a better probability of coming into your mouth than if you purchase things that are not so healthy. So in the book, I began with memoirs and stories about growing up in the Midwest. And then I moved into, I mentioned a little bit about the slow food movement that I believe originally began in Japan, but we hear about it most related to California. Dietitians have been talking about slowing down food, you know, slow food instead of fast food for years. And so it's kind of like a glorified county fair without the big ranchers and the belt buckles. It's about appreciating food and cooking your own food and getting in harmony with the seasons. And so, you know, walking through that piece and in the book, including the different food groups and talking about carbohydrates and breaking those into grains and cereals and then produce. There's a section on powerful produce, talking about phytonutrients, natural plant nutrients that you're eating that are functional. They bring a functional food. They bring something in addition to the nutrition that you receive. And talking about hydration, and then fats, the section about, you know, fats are not necessarily naughty, and powerful protein. So and helping people understand, you know, the benefits of hydration and healthy eating. And then I also included in the book a section on food after 50, about right-sizing your body and right-sizing the foods that you eat, and then how to cook. And there's a section called Happy Hoedown on how to plant a garden and harvest the garden. But many of these things are things that we feel are common sense, but common sense is not common to us all. So it's a basic piece that the book will hopefully help a person become closer in a friendly sort of way. People tell me the book is humorous. I'm choosing to believe them. And so those little vignettes I talk and little tales I tell about myself hopefully will bring the reader in to know that, you know, nutrition is actually fun. And you're going to do it anyway, right? Three times a day. So you better make friends with it because it's going to be sitting with you the rest of your life.
Well, the common sense aspect is kind of nice because, as I understand it, not all of this is reaching children right now. There's probably been a generation that kind of missed out on some of this through home ec and other things. And you were talking to the students and faculty about how some people were referring to this as a cookbook because it does have the recipes and it does have information for kids who are going off to college and the things that they need to know.
Exactly. Yes. And so I have to keep my ego out of it and just present it up and say, you know, if you feel that the 26 recipes are so cool and sexy and wonderful that you call it a cookbook, you call it whatever you want, but get it and read it because you need it. And so others will use the book. There's a sports nutrition section to it, a section about healthy eating. Of course, the My Plate is implemented into that. It is not a book on pediatric nutrition, although it does also include children. And when I talked about, you know, you should never put a child on a diet unless there's some extraordinary sort of situation going on, and that should only be under a doctor's care and with the advisement of a registered dietitian, the nutrition expert. And so to culminate all those pieces together to say it's not a scary thing, it's food. It's not complicated. It doesn't have to be complicated. There's no magic code. And so what you cook is, if you haven't learned how to cook and you start to learn how to cook because you've read the book or read a section of it, what you cook is good enough because you made it, so try it out. It doesn't have to be perfect. Progress, not perfection.
You also talked a little bit about food safety in there too.
Oh my goodness, yes. Yeah, and that's important because we're talking about sustainability, right? And so sustainability means about reusing. But in a hospital, if we're talking about, you don't want to reuse a needle because you're being sustainable, right? Because you could cause an infection, right? Hepatitis B and all those sorts of things. So it's important to keep food safety in mind as you're becoming more sustainable and making sure you're having a good hygienic environment as you're cooking. So washing off the surfaces, keeping those clean. And USDA has a wonderful website that you can utilize, the app on the iPhone or the smartphones called Ask Karen, the Kitchen Companion, which is free on the internet through the USDA websites. It's fantastic. When I was doing television and radio with Lucky Stores and Albertsons, I was always plugging the Kitchen Companion. And it wasn't because USDA was paying me. It's because we pay for that because we're taxpayers, right? So we might as well use what we've already paid for. And the whole book is scientifically based, but all the references in large part, come from some research the federal government has done. There are some independent research in addition, but you can reproduce all these pieces. There's no magic fairy dust that you have to have sprinkled on you for you to get it about good hygiene and good nutrition. So, you know, washing your hands might seem like common sense, but washing your hands with soap and water and singing happy birthday twice will give you a better chance of getting all those germs off your hands and, of course, rinsing them and drying your hands. So, yes, it's fundamental.
This is really kind of a one-stop shop book. I mean, this really covers everything you need to know about nutrition, food safety, and sustainability.
Exactly. It's a toolkit. It's a toolkit for living. And I use this book in my own practice because I want all those pieces together. How many times have you sat down to the internet to look up one topic, 4 hours later, you look at the clock, and you haven't even gone to where you were going because there was that flashing link or there was something else that distracted you by design. So for me, this is a book that I can open up and I can utilize and refer to. However, this book was written for the public. It was written for the public. It wasn't written for a high-speed, low-drag scientist. Although, hopefully, if that high-speed, low-drag scientist wants to say it in a commonsensical sort of way, they can happily refer to my book and get a baseline on how to easily say something that's very complicated.
Put you on the spot here. What's maybe your favorite section of the book or something that you really liked about the book?
Well, I was very happy to pass on the healthy farming and ag piece that my grandfather and my mother had taught me in Happy Hoedown. That's a how to garden. And it's that's where the sustainability piece came in the title. And then I very much enjoyed the powerful produce section and doing the research, this highly scientifically cited book, annotated book. And there are many, many references with regards to the phytonutrients. And so marrying, I list the color of the food, and then I say what phytonutrients would be in that food, and then what foods you can find those phytonutrients in. Because isn't that usually, as we say in the Marine Corps, you want to walk the dog to where you need to go? So isn't that where I want to be able to walk my brain so that the next question that my client asks me, I will have the answer to? So what's a phytonutrient and what does it do for me? What's the function and where do I find it? And then another section, probably food after 50. That was important because we have an aging population. Of course, we're all aging, but an aging population to address all those things that seniors need to know about and to engage in. I felt like I was passing it forward in that section.
And as a Kansas State graduate, happy to come back to campus?
Oh, my goodness. Yes, yes, the Flint Hills. It was wonderful. Very, very wonderful experience to walk across campus. I was wonderful to see that Call Hall is now carried at the Union. That was a wonderful thing. But I guess for good exercise, it would have forced me to walk over to Call Hall. But wonderful ice cream. I remember Schellenberger and their the grain science where they building where they would bake their bread and we could smell it from Justin Hall and we would walk over there and get our little loaf of bread. That was a wonderful ritual. But just coming back home, it's a wonderful sort of experience of acceptance. And, you know, my brother Joe, I have four family members who have graduated from Kansas State in veterinary medicine. And my eldest brother Joe, who has a practice outside of Topeka in Valley Falls, would always say that the guy in the room that has the cowboy hat on is usually the person with the fewest cattle. In Kansas, we say what we mean what we say, and we're genuine about it. And that genuine acceptance, that genuine feeling of the earth and respecting the earth and knowing where our food came from, that's just a very elegant blessing that I received growing up. I wouldn't trade that for anything. And so I'm just very grateful to have been born in God's country, the heartland, Kansas.
And if somebody wants to find your book, how's the easiest way to find the book?
Well, you can go to Food Field to Fork, too, is spelt out, foodfieldtofork.com, and you can order it there. You can also order it through Anita Be Healthy with a B written out, anitabehealthy.com. You can get it in Amazon, wherever books are sold. It's in softback. It's also in an electronic book as well. And the book recently won the Mom's Choice Award. The electronic book version won the ELIT Award in the area of health, nutrition, medicine, and safety. I would love to talk to you about the book. You can write me from the website. I have a blog, and I'd just be pleased as punch to share the wealth.
That's Anita Kobashevsky, author of Food Field to Fork, How to Grow Sustainably, Shop Wisely, Cook Nutritiously, and Eat Deliciously. More information about the book is available on Anita's website, www.anitabehealthy.com. Nutrition information is also available at your local Extension office. Sound Living is a weekly public affairs program produced by Research and Extension at Kansas State University. I'm Jeff Wickman, and this is the K-State Radio Network.